read again in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, the problem with Christianity isn't the people that do not have it. It's the people that profess it. The Christian standard, I think, is as low today as it ever was. About anything goes for a Christian today. You can live common law, you can live in sin, profess to be a Christian, you can drink, you can do this, you can do that, and that there's no standard to Christianity. The world is laughing at Christianity. They're ignoring it. And the truth is that the testimony of God's people is deficient. It's not established. Now, that doesn't mean your individual one might not be, but I'm talking about Christians in a general sense. Now, there was a young fellow in the Bible, Timothy, a young man, who had a real good testimony. And we're going to look a little bit at his testimony. We'll read about it in 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. And we'll read in, probably just for time's sake, in verse number 9. There's no doubt everybody wants to be rich. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, and here's a very few people, I think this is the only man in the New Testament that's called a man of God. Now we know there are others. I believe that Timothy is the only man. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's the inheritance of eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now here's a man that's an example of a Christian testimony. His interest wasn't in the things of the world. Money will buy you what you want of this world's goods. And he's speaking here not only about money, but it says, when it says flee these things, 8 times in this book, we have these things mentioned. And putting them all together, it's just the world and what the world has to offer, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's just those things that Timothy was told to flee, worldliness. And money, of course, is what will help us to get along in the world. So he says 3 things, he says, in verse number 11 and 12 that could maintain a good testimony. He says, flee these things. The Bible tells us, basically, in the New Testament, that there are 2 things we should run away from. It speaks about fleeing from idolatry in 1 Corinthians and flee from fornication, which is immorality. And all sins in the Bible will have to do with spiritual sins or moral sins. And spiritual sins is when you idolize something. It doesn't have to be a statue of the Virgin Mary or some of the saints. When you idolize and worship anything or idolize something more than the Lord, that's an idol and that's a spiritual sin. The Lord's people are exhorted much about idols. In the first epistle of John, don't keep your finger in the Timothy. It doesn't have to be a statue of the Virgin Mary or some of the saints. When you idolize and worship anything or idolize something more than the Lord, that's an idol and that's a spiritual sin. The Lord's people are exhorted much about idols. in the first epistle of John, don't keep your finger in Timothy, but if you look in 1 John chapter, the last verse in 1 John, John exhorts, the first epistle of John, the very last verse that he has of exhortation to the Lord's people, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I don't think John's talking about idols as we think of idols, statues, and that you bow down to. In fact, the word idols there could be literal or mental. Just fantasies, just dreams. You're idolizing something. So he's to run away from those things. Anything that spiritually takes the place of God, anything that is morally wrong, you have to run from those things, flee from those things. Then it says in verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're to follow. And the implication is that you can't follow righteousness if you don't flee these things. You must run away from those things if you're going to follow righteousness. You can't have idols in your life and follow righteousness. You can't have immorality in your life or anything of that nature and follow righteousness. You have to flee the one to follow the others. You can't run in two directions at the same time. So he says, you flee these things and then you follow these things. And in doing that, you're going to bring in the third thing. You're going to be fighting the good fight of faith. And faith is a fight. It's a fight in that we are to contend earnestly for the faith of the Bible that's not being contended for today. So Timothy, you run away from some things and you follow after right things, righteousness. And you follow at that's right living. And you follow after godliness. That's genuine God-likeness. And you follow after faith. And you follow after love. And you follow after patience, which is an endurance and meekness. Gentleness, mildness. And in doing so, you're going to be fighting the good fight of faith. You're going to lay hold of eternal life, which is heavenly rewards, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now he says, I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now flip back in chapter 4, and we want to look at a little bit more about Timothy and how he's going to keep and maintain a good testimony, and we are able to do the same if we follow the same. Sound doctrine in the book of Timothy is mentioned 8 times. Now, you'll not find doctrine taught anywhere much in church systems today. They say it divides. It doesn't. It unites. It draws people together. Doctrine is right teaching. The scriptures were given for inspired of God for doctrine, right teaching. We have church, tremendous changes in the world everywhere, and even the churches are changing. No longer any emphasis on doctrine. In 1948, a man coined the phrase New Evangelicalism, and most of the evangelical gospel preachers are involved in New Evangelicalism. And one of the 4 things I think that they stated was that unity was more important than doctrine. So they dropped the doctrine. And they dropped it and they started uniting with trying to unite with one another. Now unity in the Bible is something we can't make. We can keep it, but we can't make it. It's already made in Ephesians 4 and verse 2 or 3. And they said, unity is more important than doctrine. So they've gone and compromised their doctrine for the sake of unity, and they've gone so far with that that they've accepted the whole Catholic system as being part of the Church of Christ. They're on the verge of taking in the Muslims, the Hindus, and all the other religions. There's no doctrine taught. You'll not even find good, sound doctrine in a lot of churches. The Baptists were always very strong on baptism. One of the biggest Baptist churches in America just recently has said that baptism is not necessary to be a member of that church. Adding to that, they changed the charter and they said this. If you've been baptized as a baby, that's sufficient. If you've been baptized by sprinkling, that's sufficient. Now that's not Baptist doctrine. The Baptists are Baptists because of their emphasis on believers' baptism. And that emphasis, of course, is right and scriptural. But they don't have that anymore. Many of them are dropping that. They're letting down the bars because they want the crowds. They want the popularity. They want to be in the flow of things, and the flow of things is not going good in the eyes of God. Reminds me of a story I probably used here before, but it illustrates it well. Two little boys were watching this pleasure boat go down the river, and everybody on the boat were happy and they were smiling and waving and it was going to dock in this little port to pick up some people, and it was going on. And one little fellow said, "Let's get aboard." The other fellow said, "No, I'm not getting aboard because I don't know where it's going." It's important, whatever you're involved is, to know where it's going. Now back in chapter number 4 of the book of Timothy, I want to look at just a few verses here in verse 12. Here's Timothy's personal testimony. "Let no man despise thy youth." He was just a young man. "But be thou an example." That's a testimony. Now notice a little word, "of believers." Not to believers, that would be true too. But Paul isn't exhorting his testimony to believers, but he's exhorting him to have a testimony of the believers, to be an example to the world of what a believer really is. And he goes on to say that first, he's to be an example in word. Now, James, in the little book of James, we read in chapter number 3, we read something about the tongue. James chapter 3, in verse number 2, James says, "In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." He goes on to say that the tongue, in verse 5, is like a little member, it boasteth great things, and behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Timothy, you be an example in words. If any man offend not in word, then they're a perfect person. We have to watch our words, especially around unsaved people. We have to watch our words. We have to be careful about our words. The language we use, the words we use, what we talk about. We have to be extremely careful if we're going to be a good example of the believers to the unsaved people. Then it says, next, in conversation. That's an old English word. Not talking, we would use the word of speaking one another. It's the idea of conduct, how we conduct ourselves. Our manner of life, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, how we walk, how we, and not only how we talk, but how we walk. And also in charity, that's in love. Now the scripture tells us to love one another, but that love goes beyond one another. It's love that we express to the world all around us. And we mustn't think love tolerates evil. It does not. I like what John MacArthur says on a tape. There's nothing more loving than to tell people the truth. And that's true. There's nothing more loving than to tell people the truth. If somebody says that they're going to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, and you tell them in a very kind and gentle way that they can't get there that way, if they go that way, they're going to end up in a lost eternity, that's the most loving thing you could tell them to do. If your neighbor's house is on fire, and you go tell them to start turn on the TV and watch the news or something, or listen to some music, that's not a very loving thing to do. The most loving thing to do is screech and cry out, get out of here, you're going to perish in the house. That's the most loving thing you can do. So we mustn't think love tolerates. Love always speaks the truth. So Timothy, you be an example in what you say. How about us? Are we examples in what we say? Do we say things that we regret afterward? We ought to consider seriously that. In our conduct, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, in our love toward our fellow man, toward one another, toward the Lord, toward our fellow man. And then it says in spirit, that's attitude. We've been hearing about that. In our attitude. In our faith, that's our confidence in the Lord. When we have problems, what do? Get all worked up and worried? That's the natural thing to do. But the spiritual thing to do is have confidence in the Lord that whatever His mind might be worked out. Then it says in purity, which has to do with morals. Immorality is rampant even among Christians everywhere. It's sad to hear some of the stories in your travels about Christians that have fallen into immorality. So here, Timothy, you be an example of what a Christian should be like. In what you say, how you walk, in your charity, in your love, in your attitude, in your confidence in the Lord, and in the purity of your morals. Timothy, how are you going to do this? Okay, the next verse says how he's going to do it. Till I come, you give attendance to reading. And that word reading is reading over and over again. And it obviously has to do with reading the Word of God. There's nothing that, well, somebody has well said, that sin will keep you from the Bible, and the Bible will keep you from sin. It's reading the Word of God, constantly reading the Word of God. Now, the devil will tell you, he tells me every day, that I read the Word of God, and it's the first thing in the morning. So the devil will often tell me, now, you didn't get much out of that. He's kidding. He's deceiving you. You get a lot of it. You didn't get anything out of your breakfast this morning either. Or your dinner today. You stop eating for a month and you soon find out you're getting something out of all your meals. And it's the constant reading of the Word of God that's going to enable us to be an example of believers in word and in conduct and in love and spirit, attitude and faith and confidence in the Lord and in purity. And to exhortation, that is whatever the Word tells you to do. And to doctrine, good, sound teaching. Sound doctrine. The word sound is where we get our word hygiene from. Healthy doctrines. Not these doctrines that is going around, this recent one of universalism where everybody is going to be eventually saved. There's all sorts of false doctrines everywhere. far more than ever. And why? Because the Christian church, so-called, has dropped the doctrines, and their object is unity at any cost. So consequently, no doctrine being taught, up comes these false doctrines and false prophets. So he goes on to say, don't neglect the gift that is in thee, in verse 14, that was given to thee by prophecy. Now he says in verse 15, meditate, think upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Doctrine is the most important thing that there is in the life of a Christian. If you've got good, sound doctrines, you're not going to be led astray, and you're going to have a good testimony, like Timothy did. The doctrine of salvation, don't compromise it one bit. Salvation is by faith, grace, and it's by faith. That's the doctrine of salvation. You get in on this by two things, repentance and faith in Christ. Don't compromise that doctrine one bit. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. The doctrine of baptism, if you want to use that, it's the same thing. It's believers' baptism only. Baby baptism, you don't compromise on that. You don't lower your standard in doctrine. Doctrine is the teaching of the Word of God, and you can't change that. It doesn't change. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue, remain, abide, continue in them, the doctrines. For in doing that, you're going to save yourself from the apostasy, the corruption, the drifting, the departure from the faith. You're going to save yourself, and you're also going to save those people that hear you. There probably never was a time in the history of our lives when this verse 16 has importance as it does today. When I was first saved 50-something years ago, many churches around had some good, sound doctrine. But you don't find too much of it today anywhere. You not even find good, sound doctrine in salvation. People are teaching easy believism. You never hear anything much about repentance. They're teaching that if you accept Christ as your Savior and you live it, you keep it. If you don't live it, you lose it. That's not sound doctrine. Accepting people, unbaptized believers, or believers who have been baptized as babies, is most certainly not sound doctrine. And even the very fundamentals of salvation and baptism and gathering together to the person of Christ, calling yourself a Christian only, those are all good Bible doctrines that are not being taught anywhere much today. We live in a sad day, a day of apostasy. And that day of apostasy, of course, is a sign that the coming of the Lord is nearer than it ever was before. Romans chapter 13 puts it very well when it speaks there about the coming again of the Lord. And we're living in such a day, and we can read in chapter 13 of the book of Romans, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation, that's the other end of our salvation, nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. That night is getting darker every day. Apostasy is abounding on every hand. The day is at hand. That's the day of Christ, when he comes back to receive his own unto himself. And because of the apostasy that's coming in, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. That's what Timothy did. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Six different sins. The first one is social. The next one, first two are social. The next two are sexual. And the last two are spiritual. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. May the Lord help us all to be examples of the believers in those things that young Timothy was exhorted to be examples in. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee that all that Thou hast required of us, that Thou dost supply the power and the ability for us to do it. We thank Thee for Thy grace, that abundant grace, that grace that is far greater than all of our weaknesses. And we ever thank Thee and praise Thee that that grace is found in the power of the gospel, of how the Lord Jesus has died to save us not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin every day, and eventually from the presence of sin in a day that's near at hand. We ever ask Thy blessing upon our lives. Help us to make straight paths for our feet, that we might honor and glorify Thee in all of our ways, and be a good example of the believers, and be a good testimony to those who are all around us. So we ask Thy blessing to be good upon each of us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.